I understand that the windmill is part of my story. Windmill to windmill, windmill to windmill. It's so much more about just sex.
I'm a pilot.
I'm about to embark on the most amazing flight of my life.
Very high on life.
Definitely a lot of flying. That's my first love. This is the captain speaking. I'd like to welcome aboard Bachelaire. Buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. You know, there's going to be ups and downs. There's definitely going to be drama.
What drama?
But hopefully we'll end with a nice greaser of a touchdown. Welcome aboard.
So I have a question.
Wow. It's a great opening.
If we played a drinking game while we were watching The Bachelor.
Terrible idea.
If
do you know how bad my handwriting is when I'm sober? If I were to do this, and like, this would be completely unreadable.
Well, it's close. If we
read it, tell me what I said.
If we had an obstacle in the drinking game that caused us to drink every time that Peter spoke Spanish, I think we'd be dead. Probably, I mean, about 20 minutes into this episode.
Listen, if I'm ABC or Peter, you're really scratching. Like, they blew through the pilot stuff early, and now they're like, oh my God, what else is left? What else can he do?
We have to go through the entire continent of South America to at least get Peter to speak Spanish.
They're like, what else does he do? And Pedro just sticks his neck out. He's like, oh, hablo español. And they're like, oh my God, a gold mine.
I mean, here's the thing. The borders are open. Why don't they just go to Cuba and be done with it? Okay?
Can you film there, though? I don't know. I'm not like
That's a good question.
Geopolitical relations major. I'm just a podcast host with three minors.
I don't think you can film there. That's a good point, Adam.
Thanks.
Why not just go to Miami? It's the same.
So this week we are in Santiago, Chile.
Make sure you say Chile and not Chile. It's different.
Chile was in TLC.
Chile is
married Usher. Am I right?
I think they were engaged or they were together for a long period of time.
But I was close.
Thank you.
Look at me being current. Current in like 2002.
Listen, happy Black History Month. But also, I would like to mention, Adam reached out to me this week. Do you want to tell your story?
I don't know what my story is.
Your one call away story?
So I was listening to a playlist made for me by the genius algorithms at Spotify.
Recent purchasers of The Ringer.
Right, who is a competitor to this podcast. So yes. No need to give them free advertising.
Yeah,
Taylor.
Screw them and screw their Bachelor podcast. Ours is superior.
Correct. And the geniuses over there said, hey, why don't you listen to this song called One Call Away? It's by Chingy featuring Jason Weaver.
Guys.
So we watched Smart Guy when Disney Plus came out. First thing we rewatched. I highly recommend it because the thing is, it's a show. As an adult, you watch it and you're like, wow, this is a show about a dad who is raising a really smart little kid. And that dad is doing a great job of parenting.
Floyd Henderson.
Right?
He has a name.
Yeah. It's not like other shows, you know? We tried to watch Lizzie McGuire or like maybe you watch Even Stevens. You watch these other shows and you're like, this is still a kid's show. When you rewatch Smart Guy, you go, man, this was actually for parents.
This was a real television show. And what I would also like to say...
Way to go, Jason Weaver, the best character in the whole thing. But also...
That is true.
Watch Smart Guy again.
Yeah. You know, Floyd Henderson truly is one of the ultimate TV dads that is probably most forgotten. Not only was he a single parent, he was a widowed parent. And owned his own business?
Overall hot dad.
Overall hot dad.
Not some bumbling idiot dad.
No, hot dad, competent, cooked, cleaned, took care of the house, was a contractor, did a lot of stuff. And the other thing that I would appreciate about Floyd Henderson, he always apologized to his children. When he was wrong.
He talks to them like grown-ups.
He talked to them like adults. When he was wrong, when something happened, he would come to his kids. He's like, you know what? We can have a conversation about this and we can figure out what our problems are together.
Listen, I mean, I don't know anything about reality TV, but I have a reality TV podcast.
That's right.
I know even less about parenting. I feel like I'm probably very qualified to say Floyd Henderson's a great parent and give parenting advice.
Great parent. Very supportive of his stupid child and his gifted child and his creative child, you know?
Yeah. Marcus, man.
Marcus.
Jason Weaver is is, first of all, the straw that stirs the drink here. He's the person who makes that show go around.
Very hilarious.
And second of all, very cool in the interviews. He's not one of these spoiled people like, yeah, that was the show, like whatever, you know. He's just a cool guy.
The man has been in the entertainment business 4 years, and if you've ever, you know, not
seen The Lion King.
Yeah, also true. Or if you've seen the Michael Jackson, I think it was a miniseries that they had when he was very, very young, also excellent. He did an interview on Strong Black Leads, Netflix's podcast, and it's fantastic if you ever want to listen to it. So,
well, let's talk about the actual show that we're doing.
I guess.
So we go to Santiago, Chile.
Chile.
And you can tell that it's the show because there's a bunch of women sitting around having lunch, and McKenna's in the corner crying.
Always.
That's literally how the episode starts. They're all sitting around, and McKenna's like, you know what? Boo-hoo for me.
Here's the thing that I want to discuss. There are two Victorias. Now, there are literally two Victorias, but there are also two Victoria Fs. There is a Victoria F, and you will see her when she's with Peter. And there is a Victoria F when she's with the other girls. It is very clear that she has a totally different personality, which I think is a huge red flag, and Peter's never going to see this unless somebody tells them about it. But it's really stark, and it should be worrisome.
So we go there. There's the table. There's the women. Peter walks up, and he's like, guess what? I'm going to go on a one-on-one date right now with Hannah Ann.
And there she
is. Who he's already gone on a one-on-one date with. This is their number two. I thought she got, like, the first one or the second one.
She was on the Revolt date? Is that what you're thinking about? The fashion show date?
No, I don't remember. Anyway, they go on a one-on-one date. Here's what they do.
The old walk and talk, as I like to say.
They walk and talk. Yeah. They end up at this kind of, like, drum circle thing. It's like these guys who are all multi-drummers, you know? They got, like, the cymbals between their knees and, like, the bass drum on their back and everything.
Sure. It's a street performance.
It is the perfect time to do the Cuban shuffle.
Bingo.
In Chile.
Bingo.
Which is exactly what happens. So that's kind of what they do. And then after that, I mean, does any other activity happen or is it just a conversation at this
That's
point?
Literally it. They're just walking around and talking about Hannah Ann's past relationships or lack thereof.
Yeah, then
that's
we get into Hannah Ann's strong suit, which is conversation.
Adam's kidding. She's very awkward.
I wish we had like a sarcasm sound effect.
Ooh, maybe that's something we can look into for a
Maybe it's something people should be suggesting to us. Like,
oh, I'd love to hear
our
that.
Interns can't look up every sound.
No, they're really busy, you know, getting me water.
So Peter and Hannah Ann have a conversation and he's like, wait a second. By the way, step back. This show just got very serious. In like 2 weeks, we went from 15 people to 6.
What drama?
I mean, in two days, it got very serious. Yeah. On Monday, the episode was not this serious.
No, today's episode is an actual date of the show that's really serious. Yes. And thank God.
Yes, yes.
Our podcast is going to get way better.
So serious.
Sorry about the first 5 episodes.
Yeah, just throw those
that's
out.
That's not our fault. That's ABC's
just
fault.
Just throw those out. I'm very tired.
So Peter goes, hey, listen. You know, we're getting close to the end now, and, like, I'm kind of worried that you're a baby.
I find it wild that he's only now having these conversations with people. He is, if these were some of the girls that he was most interested in for this long a period of time, I find it wild some of the questions that he's asking them that are so basic, where I think to myself, this is sort of cocktail party conversation. This is like one-on-one date conversation. This is at least like group date and you've stolen away with somebody for 20, 30 minutes and just bump right out with it kind of stuff.
This is like if you were dating the Hulk for a while, like years, and then he gets down on one knee to propose to you and you went, wait, are you green?
Yeah.
Is your secret that you're always angry?
Oh, nice.
You know, it's like, this is too late to be bringing this up.
Have you always been Mark Ruffalo?
No, that
is obviously,
So here's what's funny. He asks the right question. It's too late, but it's the right question. He goes, hey, so you're a baby. And she goes, listen, let me tell you about my career. I know that I'm not going to model for forever because this is just a temporary thing. And then she doesn't say what comes after, which is the intent of the question.
Right. She didn't even say, like, I want to get my GED. I want to get a real estate
license.
No, she
just goes, this isn't going to last forever.
She didn't even say, I want to go work at Chick-fil-A, which, you know, she can say now.
she did a really good job of restating the premise of the question and then a really poor job of answering the question, which is kind of half the job.
And then Peter went into this whole thing where he was like, you know, I really don't want any scripted answers from any of these girls. You know, I want the real thing. Then I don't understand why there are so many pageant girls on this show, because all they know is giving scripted answers.
It's almost like he has no control over who's here. And I mean that very half-heartedly.
Right.
So the conversation goes like that. Then she goes, listen, you know, I don't want to be superficial. I want to go deep with my career. And that's the end of the conversation. He doesn't say, So what?
And the other thing is that she never even mentioned is she didn't even say anything about, you know, you're a pilot and that must make being in a relationship difficult and you're traveling all the time. And like, that could have been a reasonable question to ask and talk about what is your life going to be like after this. None of it.
Oh, she cannot do the cross interrogation very well at all. She's actually, so this is what I noticed.
She can't or everybody?
She can't. Well, nobody can. Maybe Natasha can. She's a real life grown up.
Right.
So he goes, you're a baby. What do you do? She's like, I'm going to go deep. In real life, everyone knows the answer to this question. You just have to play the my heart card.
On the show.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
He eats that up.
He loves it.
What do you want to do? I don't know. I just want to follow my heart. Oh, best career choice ever. Oh, best career choice of all time. Follow your heart.
What are you thinking about? How do you feel about me? You know, this journey has just been so impactful for me. Well, journey.
For my heart. So actually, she just starts crying.
Mm-hmm.
Which works. He goes, oh my God. She must be so serious about this that she's crying about it.
Or that she was so nervous when she was giving me all of these canned answers that eventually she broke down and said, I can't do this anymore. I have to just be real with you. What?
And at this point he goes, that's exactly what I needed to hear. This is me telling you, like, I'm not editorializing here. He goes, that's exactly what I needed to see and hear. And then he just gives it a rose.
For someone who says they don't love drama.
Get into it. Drama.
Peter lives for drama. Loves it. He is a messy and he lives for drama.
This is a weird relationship now that you see them standing there, because, like, keep in mind, Hannah Ann is here because she just kept her mouth shut the whole time.
Well, like, she also got the first impression rose, so, right? I mean, she's hot. That gave her some currency for quite some time.
She's hot, but at this point, you can still be in the show. This is way too late for it, but it's Peter's fault. You can still be in the show by just not making drama. And I think all of us had this moment where we're watching this, and you're like, wait a second. And this will happen again several times this episode. You go, What is the currency of this relationship?
Right.
A lot of relationships have currencies that are, like, based on, like, love languages or something. You're like, this person is a person I spend time with.
Wait.
Whatever.
Adam, did you just bring up love languages being prompted?
These are things that are universally recognized as items or actions that you do to people you're in love with.
Acts of service?
Words
of affirmation?
These are things that could be a real-life currency in a realistic relationship. One of you crying and the other one just trying to make you feel better is not a natural relationship, you know?
Well, maybe Peter is a natural giver of words of affirmation.
Yeah. The thing is, though, there's two sides here.
And physical touch.
Get out of here. she gets the rose, but do you really feel like she won this? Do you really feel like he went home and he was like, oh, yeah, she's totally a grown-up enough to have a marriage with?
I think of the people that are in the bottom, she's at the top of the bottom, if you know what I'm saying.
What? Can you say that on the air? Can you say that on the podcast?
I can talk about bottoms all I want.
Top of the bottom sounds kind of dirty. Sounds kind of filthy.
She's more verse, if anything.
All right.
No, she is of the women that are left. She's at the top of the worst of the bunch, if you will. The bottom bunch. But She's also 20.
It's a really inexact way of saying where she is.
Right.
There's only six people.
But
left.
Again, when you look at the field that's left, you know, unfortunately, or, I mean, there's only two girls that are left that are 23 or 24 out of everybody, which is really surprising, right? I mean, after all that, he did end up weeding out the girls that were super, super, super young or acted super
sort
young.
Of.
I mean, to me, Hannah Ann is, I don't know. She just doesn't have this. She's not on the same level as some of these other girls at all. And I feel like the rose that he gave her was kind of like, okay, yeah, I guess. Let's
he gave
see.
It to her because he can't stand somebody crying and he wants to be liked so bad
yes.
by everybody that he
yes.
just that he just
yes.
shuts them up with whatever kind of niceness is available. And on a one-on-one date, that is a rose.
Yeah, and I think in his waking life, that probably happens to him. And he's like, maybe if I have sex with her, she'll stop talking.
I think that definitely happens.
Yeah.
So that's it. Hannah Ann wins and loses this one-on-one date at the same time.
Sure.
All right, let's talk about the group date.
So the group date, this was actually kind of a fun date.
This
so,
is a great, it's the first time in a long time we've had a, well.
Well, that's
well,
not true. They've had some really good group dates this season, comparatively. So this was a telenovela filming date. Very similar if you've ever watched RuPaul's Drag Race. They do a lot of these sort of mini challenges or maxi challenges, as they like to call them, where they get all of the queens together and they have to perform a scene. This is very similar to that. And I thought this was super fun. So on this date was Tammy McKenna, Kelly, Natasha, Sydney, Madison, Victoria P, and Kelsey.
Everybody but Victoria F.
Everybody but Victoria F.
And Hannah Ann.
And Hannah Ann, who just went on a date. So it seemed like everybody was having a good time. This was the point in the episode where McKenna started to spiral. Now, this was residual sort of craziness from earlier this week.
She's nuts.
Yes.
She cannot handle this.
Yes.
Because it's she can't take it when the whole world isn't about her, and it's not. So it's that's hard for her.
And just when we thought Kelsey was the problem, we found out that McKenna was more of a problem. So she, obviously, as we know, was crying at the very beginning of the episode. And then towards the middle, she decided that, oh my God, Peter doesn't like me. I'm freaking out. I'm not getting any time with him.
Sort I of, should just leave.
Yeah, sort of the age old, like, I'm not getting the time with him that I need. They've been talking a lot about time this season, probably more than they have before.
Well, they don't understand percent.
Yeah.
So
she ended up being the maid in the telenovela. So she was sort of pining for Peter from far away. It was all very, you know, similar to her own story. Whatever.
So the plot of this episode of TV mm-hmm. is that Pedro, played by Peter, right?
Wait,
twist.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What was Pedro's occupation?
Wait,
hold on.
Can we get the interns to look this up?
Kids! Kids!
Pedro was a pilot.
Wow.
Did you know?
Hold on. What?
Well, it's a joke about how the first episode of a TV show is actually called The Pilot.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
So my friend Seth texted me about this. Like during the show, he's like, I'm not going to spoil anything. And he didn't. He's like, but.
Thanks, Seth.
He's like, but basically, ABC needs to figure out something else about him. In this singular date, they have used both the he speaks Spanish. Did you know he speaks Spanish?
Mm.
He learned it by watching the telenovelas with his abuela.
Right. Because she is what?
Cubana.
Cubana. Thank you very much. Great. Grammatical.
Thanks. I'm bilingual. Right?
Mas. I mean, the only thing that ABC is really forgetting is that he lives with his parents, and they haven't mentioned that once.
So this date is kind of fun. Like, everybody gets their own scenes with him. It's kind of cute.
Kelly's
got glasses on her eyeballs and glasses on top of her head. Like, not sunglasses, reading glasses.
We love it. And Kelly was the
That's
abuela
a scene.
In this scene. It was fantastic.
Kelly played the date so well because, like, this is a date where you're sort of supposed to fudge the rules. She's like, I went off script. I made myself the love
interest. I was making jokes.
Like, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Like,
yeah.
the group date is for you to just create a way to have fun, which she did.
Yes. And can you imagine McKenna having been the grandma? She would have been devastated.
No, it takes a real grown-up to do that.
Yeah.
And to just be like, whatever, I'm not actually part of the sexy part. It's okay.
And to make the best of it, because that's what Kelly said even earlier this week. She was like, you know, I just want to have fun at this point. I'm going to take whatever time I can, use whatever percent that I have, and make the best of it. And it really paid off.
It was a fun date.
And you talked about how the difference between the dates that they book for the guys and the dates that they book for the girls are just wildly different.
Well, I talked about this earlier this season.
Yeah.
I don't remember which episode. Earlier this season, I said, they always make the women go on these dumb dates where they're playing sports.
Physical challenges.
And somebody gets hurt, and none of them, like, they're all models, so they don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you keep doing this? What is the male equivalent of this? This is the male equivalent of this.
The telenovela.
The women can do the performance things well, and, like, the guys don't. This is to answer a question that I know we've probably all been sitting around stewing about for a month.
I know I have. Oh my gosh.
Since the beginning of the season, this is it. This is what the women do that is their version of the sports date.
Yeah. For the guys. Because if you go back and you remember some of the guy dates that have just gone horribly, horribly wrong, that pageant that Hannah did one season, I think Becca's season where they had to perform a song or something. I mean,
they can't do it.
Don't get me started about the Richard Marx of it all, which was fantastic.
They can't do it, and they don't have a good time, and it's not fun to watch.
It's bad, and it's awkward. These guys are so weird, man.
So this group date, for the first time in a while, goes kind of well.
It's fine.
Surely the dinner portion of this will also go well.
Don't call me Shirley.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
I've been waiting to use this airplane sound clip all season.
And now you can.
And now we did. So, we're at dinner, and, you know, it starts, and then he pulls Kelsey aside. He goes, hey, listen, what's going on? She's crying. He goes, you know what?
Kelsey's always crying. Oh my God. Just get her Valium and push her off the building.
Kelsey's crying and she's like, everything's always so heavy and so dramatic. And Peter goes, I know. I feel like we've overcome so much. I'm like, bro.
You don't know her.
What?
You don't know her.
If you meet a woman the first time and she's crying, that's like, I'm sorry. That sucks. The second, third, fourth, fifth time she's crying every time, you know, you're not overcoming anything. She's just like that.
Remember when Kelsey threw back that champagne in her own face and she said that she was a classy... You know who usually says that? Girls who aren't classy.
Yeah. Classy and... sort of it's a classic, you know,
it's a dichotomy.
Oxymoron.
Yeah, like jumbo shrimp.
Like whole half chicken. Yeah. So whatever. The Kelsey thing happens. It's worth talking about because it's hilarious.
She looked good tonight. It was a cool... I love a leather skirt, so good for her.
Great. So the actual thing that happens is it is time for Victoria P, blonde Victoria, to go talk to him. And for the first time in a while, Pedro has some teeth with her.
This was really surprising to me, and this came out of nowhere. Did you see this coming?
I did.
Ooh, talk about it. Because I was shook when she started talking about, you know, we had such a great time on our first one-on-one date and, you know, I really care about you. And I was like, oh my God, Peter is so into Victoria. He's so into her. And he blew my mind tonight.
Well, so like we said, tonight is the first real episode of the thing, of the entire season.
Because it's taken 6 weeks.
The first five episodes have just been two girls picked at random, whatever, and the producers make them fight, and then the entire episode is about that. It's happened five times. Now in episode six, it's going to be the end of that. Like, this is not good television.
It's not sustainable.
It's not good television.
You can't keep watching
this. It's not
this.
Particularly good podcasting about television.
Ugh, I'm tired.
Right? And so they sit down, and literally the first thing out of her mouth is, hey, so now that Alea's gone, I just want to clear up that fight that the two of us had. And Peter's like, listen, the time to do that was three episodes ago.
Mm.
What are you doing? Like, are you really bringing this up from a month ago in real time? It was probably, what, 2, 3, 4 weeks?
But it seems like such a weird thing that,
why are you bringing this up?
I mean, that the perceived amount of time that the two of them has spent together, it seems like a weird thing that either she would continue to bring up, which is the red flag, or the thing that she would wait this long to not say anything. So it at least seems like they've spent enough time together where they should have been talking about this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And another thing, my biggest problem with Victoria P.
is that she wears a ponytail every time she wears her glasses, and it really distracts you from the experience of the glasses being a thing.
I'm really pro glasses.
I know, but you can't, like, I mean, you can't turn into this naughty librarian every time you wear glasses and you think, oh, okay, well, this is just what this looks like. No, you can wear your hair in different ways and wear glasses.
Are you done? Women, if you're listening, wear your glasses all the time.
I know.
Never don't wear your glasses.
Unfortunately, I've started wearing my glasses more often because my husband likes it, but whatever.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
Kim!
Here's what I'm saying. If you're going to have surgery to change the way your face looks, to make your face look like anything that you want...
Honey, you know that's Botox and that takes probably 20 minutes.
Are you really going to make it look like that?
I don't know. I want to know what her face looks like without the Botox.
She looks terrible. Her whole face is just immovable and fake.
It's so wild that...
It's awful.
The picture of her is so different than what her actual face looks like on the show, which then makes me feel like, what does your real face look like in real life? And then it makes me think, what did you look like before your nose job, before your veneers, before your fillers, all of it?
She's a horse or a really tall dog.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she forfeits her percent instantly. This episode is about not using your percent.
This is so wild. So she's so wild.
Literally, first thing out of her mouth. So let me talk some trash about Alea now that she's gone. And Peter's like, I'm going to stop you right there. I want to get rid of you. You're done being on the show. I'm gonna walk you out right now.
I am truly convinced that something else happened. It makes no sense that this just came out of nowhere like this. So, I mean, as you know, I like to use my 25 to life investigative reporting, which also involves some work of the interns. We will get to the bottom of this, much to the same way that we got to the bottom of the timeline of the Hannah B. at the jet of it all. We will get to the bottom.
That was some Pulitzer Prize winning stuff.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So let's do a quick end of the road. We literally lost her. He just walked her out, and that was the end of her. We're going to do a quick end of the road for Victoria P. It'll be the last time we have to use an initial here.
Also, nobody else was shocked, which no. I thought was a really big red flag, too. So I don't know what's going on.
Let me ask you something, since we're at the end of the road. What was her best moment of the season? Because I've been down on her for forever. I'm pro glasses. I'm glad that she brought that. Like, for me, the highlight of the season is she brought back glasses.
She did. A lot of girls have been wearing their glasses on the show, and they've been showing it a lot. Now, either the vision is getting worse of the people on the show.
Oh, well, that's definitely true. We're all attached to our screens all the time.
Attached to our screens, the cell phones. Yeah, sure. Her most iconic moment?
See? See? You're going to sit here and be like, I can't believe she's gone. And then you're like, well, what did she do?
It's probably two things. The thumbing of the eyelash from Alea's face during the conversation that she had with her and Peter, with Alea, Victoria, and Peter. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was very intimate. And then I would also say, you know, everybody loves a traumatic one-on-one date dinner where, you know, you talk about, here's my trauma and here's why you should be horny for it.
Everybody has that.
I know.
Does that really make it makes you stand out in the moment because you can't give somebody bad news after that?
I mean, also the glasses are a bit of a moment.
That's what I said. The glasses are a moment. I will give her that. I hope everybody who's watching for next season just takes note, you know. I'm not the only one who likes this.
Glasses are great.
So she's out and
I was shook.
Meanwhile, back to the house.
Back at the mansion.
Back at the mansion. Pedro and Madison are having a cute little intimate moment, I guess.
A kiki.
Right? They're doing this, like, they're kind of just smooching and, like, whatever.
You know, Madison's another one of those quiet girls who's been here for a long
time. This is how you win.
Yeah.
This season, this is how you win.
Sleeper.
You just keep your mouth shut. So, here's a quick, quick recap of everything else that happened.
Peter wrote Madison fan fiction, by the way.
He's like, I wrote this script. And you open up the script and it's like, Peter kisses Madison. Oh, okay, all right.
It's fan fiction. It's basically Thirst Aid Kit. That's what he did.
Great. So they're doing that. Meanwhile, cut to. Tammy and McKenna start a fight right now that Kelsey drags herself into, and Natasha and Sydney just get up and walk out on because they're grown-ups, and that's how you play the game.
That was super funny. And my big thing with Tammy is, like, leave it alone. You know, you've made your peace. She has not made her peace.
Well, Tammy just has to fight. But, like, she needs an enemy.
I can't understand how this is advancing your cause. Like, I can understand having a nemesis. Trust me. I have several.
Ain't that the truth?
Right?
I really just have one.
You have one nemesis, right?
I like to think it's the guy who just proposed to Leslie Murphy in between our last episode.
Oh, by the way, did you guys hear about that?
Let's cut two out of the episode.
Just a second. Just for a second. I know we've already talked about Jason Weaver, but this is also very important.
Leslie Murphy, my soulmate.
Yes.
Like, obviously, she's the perfect woman.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy that she's been dating, I guess.
He's an Australian drone pilot.
Like, that's a thing. Well, what is that, like a breed of dog or what? So this guy proposed to her, and she, despite having met me in the flesh,
she did before she got with the drone pilot. Actually,
we're talking eye contact, mm-hmm. physical contact. Oh my god, we have the same birthday. We're basically the same person, you know. Despite all that stuff and numerous imaginary other things, she said yes, I guess, and she's pretending to be happy about it, and like
she's really excited.
Whatever, wherever you are, just pour one out for. I get the marriage I should have had.
Well, you've had
thanks to you.
Well, you've had a pretty rough 18 months. I mean, this Priyanka Chopra. I'm sorry.
You know what? Like, this is dumb. This is dumb.
I hope you guys please respect Adam's privacy at this time. We're really working through a tough moment. So
now I have to just settle for my next best choice of wife, which is, I guess, my co-host.
It's
and
me?
Not. I don't even love anybody in this season anymore. I know.
This really set you back. This set you back. I get it. So we get to the end of the group date. You said nothing else happened. Essentially, Madison got the rose. Big deal.
Yeah. Again, we're still at a point in the multiple person interactions where you're best to just step back and let everyone else fight until there are no survivors.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what happened in this episode of the show.
We love to see it.
So now we have a one-on-one date with Victoria. There is no extra initial.
Yeah.
So her first one-on-one date went terribly because the producers are, you know,
monsters.
Douchebags.
Monsters, yeah.
And so this time it was like, you know what? You get a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
So they rode some horses. They did like a horse trust exercise where they walk underneath its body and
Peter
between its legs.
Ate a lot of meat.
Peter ate a lot of meat, which we saw in the outtakes at the end. I
didn't really remember the daytime part of this date, except when Victoria started to kind of melt down. So this
is it. The entire date, it's like Hannah Ann.
Yeah.
The actual date activity is very minimal, and then the conversation is the star of the show, and it has a very similar outcome.
Right. So Victoria,
why don't you tell us what happened?
So Victoria P. has never in my mind.
This is Victoria F, but also you can just say Victoria. There's only one left, just Victoria.
You know what I mean. Victoria has never in my mind really opened up to or said anything of consequence to Peter.
That's definitely true.
So
also not just to Peter, probably just in general, in period.
That's not true because Victoria is a different person around the other girls. So, you know, sometimes you can kind of blame it on, oh, it's the camera, or, oh, it's, you know, you're not used to being in this kind of situation. I don't think that's true. Because remember when she cussed out Alea about telling everybody about Chase? Remember when she...
Oh, super verbose
exactly.
Right there.
Remember when, at the beginning of this episode, when she was talking to McKenna about, girl, nobody cares about how much time you have or haven't had with Peter. We are all struggling with the same thing. And if you can't get it together, then I don't want to hear about it. Remember?
Yeah.
When
Even we were just talking about it like 30 minutes ago.
Even when she was talking to Chase at Cedar Point, she was very articulate with him. So
This is her game.
So
this is her attraction trap. Yes,
this is a game. This is a game. So this whole thing about, like, you know, I mean, I don't know. Like, I just don't know. And, like, I've just been thinking a lot. So here's what I think. She doesn't like Peter. And
you know what she does like?
She wants to...
attention and internet eyeballs.
Yes, because all of this foolishness where she's talking about, you know, I don't know about doing this.
You don't know.
Perfect example. The Revolve date. She was going back and forth about, I don't want all this attention on me, blah, blah, blah. And she gets to the final part of the date, and what does she walk out in? In a teddy and a trench coat. What?
She is a lock to be on Paradise.
100%. 100%.
So here's their conversation. She basically, he's Peter, and like, he's gotten better at talking on camera this season. He talks. He doesn't mumble. He talks. He doesn't say anything of consequence, but at least it's words.
He's saying something.
So he's like, hey, how's it going? I feel like you and I haven't talked about our relationship in a while. And she starts crying, which is a great step because he loves that.
He loves that.
And she goes, you know, I have a hard time. I'm really back and forth because, like, I love you. And, you know, like, me over here. Like, I'm a storyteller. I'm a writer.
Oh, my
like,
God. Here we go.
I'm really into the structure of things. And when you say you're back and forth, or when you say you're up and down, or whatever, you're vacillating in some way, you should explain...
vacillating.
...both sides.
Vacillating while I'm talking about people who are at the top of the bottoms?
Yeah.
You've got some nerve.
If you do a Google search for top and bottom, don't do a Google. Don't. If you're at your work computer,
don't
do that.
Do it on your phone on a private
I'm not sure you can say that screen. On the air. Anyway, so when you do this, when you set up these two sides, you should explain what the two sides are. So she goes, I'm going back and forth. I'm up and down. I just love you. And you're sitting there like, but? And then that was the end of it. Like, I can't talk to you because I love you, but what's the other side? What's the downside?
And then she starts this whole other thing where she says, you know, I just don't have anything to say. Like, I just don't have a reason why I'm doing this. Like, girl, yes, you do have a reason. The reason is that you don't like him, and you can't tell him that you don't like him because you want to stay on the show.
Yeah.
You want to stay on the show long enough so that you can go home and get your nails done. Hello?
That's what she's trying to do. So maybe she's just confused because... Peter's wearing this shawl collar sweater and a blazer jacket, and it's all the same color as his skin and hair.
What is he doing?
He looks like he is naked with no nipples. It's one uniform color across the entire part of his body, and then right around his neck where the shawl collar like bunches up, it just looks like he has just a big roll of fat on his neck because it's skin color.
It's really gross. And the bad part about this is they have stylists for the bachelors and the bachelorettes on the show. So he didn't even pick that out. Somebody chose that for him. So if these are the clothes that somebody is choosing for him, imagine what he dresses like without any help.
So back to Victoria. We have a couple of just all-star, like all-time comments here.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking to Peter. She's like, he goes, you know, now that I put on my nurpled outfit and like we're having this conversation again over dinner, you've had some. So this conversation started before dinner.
Yeah.
Then she had the whole time getting ready to think about it. And he goes, okay, second chance. How are you feeling? And she goes, you know, I don't know. It's a combination of things. To which everyone goes, okay, what are the things?
Name the things.
It is a combination of which things? To which C says, oh, wait, nothing. She just goes off in the corner and, like, cries.
Again, these are all red flags. Because if this is how she behaves when you push her and press her for information, this is what your life will be like forever.
Here's the best part. A producer, not even Peter, a producer walks up and goes, hey, do you want to keep going? Or, like, are you done?
Like, you can get up and walk out.
Hey, do you want to keep doing this? And mid-cry, Victoria goes, I don't know.
What?
Do you know anything?
Somebody needs to figure it out, because I'm tired.
So, again, this woman is incredibly hot. She probably looks fantastic naked.
Oh, yes.
But.
At what cost?
Well, she literally cannot get a sentence out. She's crying. She doesn't know. It's frustrating me.
You know, the thing that I also think about, and then we can move on from this because, oh my God.
I don't know. Can we move on? I don't know. Well, there's just so much else to talk about. I don't know.
From the things that we've heard about Victoria, I'm sure that will come to light later. What we've heard about Chase, she said it was her ex, but then also he said that they only spent like one night together, but then at the same time...
Well, she doesn't know. There's no way she knows.
At the same time, she told him that she was going to be on The Bachelor. That seems like something weird that you would tell somebody who you've been with for a long period of time versus someone that you, you know, banged one evening.
Maybe it was just a combination of
especially
things.
A famous person. She seems like the kind of person who likes to play with things. And then gets bored. She likes the idea of being the bachelor, of being on The Bachelor and kind of playing with Peter and playing with it. And then she got bored. With Chase, I mean, it was a one night sort of play thing. And then she was like, okay, I don't want to do this like musician thing. It's almost like, maybe she doesn't like to play with stuff. Maybe she likes to conquer stuff. She likes to be able to know that she can do it or get something. And then she loses interest immediately.
I think there's just nothing to like about her except for how hot she is, and she likes a whole bunch of new men telling her how hot she is because no one's going to tell her anything else good about her because there's nothing else good about her.
I mean, very similar to the things that we've heard from our friends in Virginia Beach.
Yes, but still, she does the crying, she does the I don't know. He gives her the rose.
He loves it.
Because it is incredible how far you can go and how incomplete you can be when you're just regular hot.
I can't believe he did this, knowing.
I can. Every man ever has fallen into this trap before.
But I can't believe he did this. If he's so serious about being in a long-term relationship and being married, like he says to everybody else, that you don't recognize these signs with somebody as saying, man, this is what my whole life is going to be like if I pick this person, if I stay with this person.
You wish he'd put that together, but, you know, you can't help what you're into.
And then
everyone's into someone who's hot.
And then he's out here giving Victoria all these chances, and then he's with Kelly and is like, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on in our relationship. Just because she's not crying at your feet every time she sees you doesn't mean she doesn't like you, bro.
Yeah, so that's that. We still have another week. Victoria will make it to Fantasy Suite so he can have sex with her, and then she will leave and she'll be on Paradise, and
sure.
That's it.
Yeah.
Now, before the rose ceremony, we get a sort of 2-on-1.
A special 2-on-1.
Right? So Tammy and McKenna are still fighting.
The girls are fighting.
The crux of the fight is that Tammy goes, McKenna, you're a baby, which is true.
Yes.
And McKenna goes, Tammy, why are you so mean? What are you even here for? Which is also true.
Also true.
They're both terrible. Yes. It doesn't make one of them right.
That's right.
Which is essentially what Peter figured out. So he gives them both like a little bit of time to say their piece. Nobody is convincing.
Mm-mm.
They spend the entire time just talking about each other, which is, an abusive percent.
Yeah.
And instantly he goes, all right, Tammy, you are out. He goes, I can't keep you both on the show, which is the worst. You think he's going to get rid of both of them right there because he doesn't know how to talk. He gets rid of Tammy because McKenna is younger and hotter.
Right. But I also think the reason that he got rid of Tammy was like, you know, let's get rid of her now during the 2-on-1 date. The cocktail party is happening literally in another 20 minutes. And maybe McKenna is at the top of the bottoms, if you will. And if I talk...
How many tops of the bottoms are there?
Honey, that's not for me to decide.
Okay? Again, don't ask the internet.
Don't ask the internet. So it seems like he said, okay, McKenna is still kind of in the running towards becoming America's Next Top Model, but maybe if I talk to these other girls, I will really see how much I don't like her. And that's exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So see you later, Tammy. All you ever did, oh, I guess end of the road for Tammy time. All you ever did was get in fights with people. any really good moment. You thought she was going to be sane until the last couple of
you
episodes.
You really did think she was going to be sane.
You thought she was going to be the normal one. In the last couple of episodes, she really turned it on.
Yep, not great.
See you, Tammy. So we move into the actual rose ceremony, where we still have to get rid of two more people.
Yes.
And we are drastically cutting.
And a surprising turn, by the way.
There were 15 people when we watched the show on Monday, and we're going to end the show with 6. We got rid of 60% of the cast.
Thank God.
In 2 episodes.
Jesus Christ.
It was 5 hours, but it was only 2 episodes.
We got there. Thank God.
So, not a lot of dramatic stuff to talk about. Let's just talk about who left. First person we lost was McKenna.
Yes, we did.
Because she had it coming and he wanted to do it earlier, but I guess didn't.
Well, like I said, he wanted to talk to the other girls, see how he was feeling about them, and say, you know what? I was right. I'm feeling it. Let's get her out of here.
Yeah, McKenna is not strong. And at this point, she's not hot enough to still be in.
Absolutely not.
If she looked like Victoria or Hannah Ann, she would still be in. She has the exact same problems as those two women, but she's not hot enough.
Speaking of super hot people, we lost Sydney tonight.
This was confounding.
This was really, really surprising, especially after they just had that one-on-one date this week. She poured her heart out to him. Now, there's been a lot of conversation on the internet this week about Sydney basically lying about not having a lot of friends in high school and that kind of thing. She went to school with Hannah B. I think they went to the same
high school.
They went to the same high school. And so she was in a lot of pageants. There are a lot of pictures of her.
They both were?
Yeah.
So she is Hannah B.
Yeah, she's Black Hannah B, basically. So they were in some pictures together. Sydney was in a bunch of pictures, you know, doing pageants and things like that. And so everybody's saying that it is so ridiculous that Sydney would even say that she didn't have any friends and she was bullied and blah, blah, blah. Now, that is foolish because we know that both of those things can be true. She could feel like
the truth is somewhere in the middle.
The truth is somewhere in the middle. And especially based on her experiences living in the deep south of Birmingham, Alabama, and being, you know, a mixed race kid growing up, I can only imagine some of the crazy, wild things that people would say to her that would make her feel isolated and crazy. But at the same time thinking to herself, well, I guess I'll do pageants. Something to do. All those things can be true at the same time.
I mean, we lost Sydney, but I feel like this is the definitive, like, we're done with riffraff moment in the show.
You thought Sydney was riffraff? I thought
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
We're at the point where, like, you lose McKenna and you sit around and you go, oh, well, obviously. And then that is the definitive moment where you go, oh, wait, we only have good people left.
I'm not saying that this was on the level of Selma, but this felt like a Selma loss to me.
There was no middle ground.
No.
The switch from
McKenna
to
Sydney.
We're still losing people who were a joke. Like, 48 hours ago, Lexi was on the show. Sheehan was on the show. And you're like, wait, what? And now Sydney is gone?
Yeah.
These are, like, Sydney finished 7th. Lexi and Sheehan tied for 10th. You're like, wait.
These are not on the same level.
Yeah.
For sure. So we'll miss Sydney. I like her a lot. I think she's probably going to have a great showing on BIP just because she's got a sweet nature
she is so hot. She is guaranteed to be on BIP. I don't think McKenna is. I think Victoria and Sydney at this point are definitely doing that. There's no way Victoria could win.
Both Victorias or
no.
Or P.
Yeah, Victoria F.
F.
Blonde Victoria, no.
Oh, really?
Brunette Victoria, who causes trouble and can't talk but is crazy hot, will be on the show because she looks fantastic mostly naked.
And it's something for her to do, really.
Yeah, what is she going to go back to her job as a homewrecker?
Ooh.
Let's do power rankings.
Okay. My number 4 is – I don't have one. I was so shook about losing Sydney that I – don't know what to say.
My number 4 is Sydney scratched out, and I wrote Kelly on top.
You know what, Adam? Stop. No, I wrote Kelly first and then scratched it out.
All right. My number 3 is Natasha. She is moving up.
Wow.
I feel like after Monday, the episode happened, and I go, you know what? She's in my power rankings. And then starting this week, Natasha and also a little bit of Pedro noticed that she was in my power rankings, and everyone started acting appropriately.
You know, I've always liked Natasha. She's very mature. She was our, the person from the beginning of the season who actually gave us the phrase cats and rats.
Yeah, and also she's been the only grown up the whole time. And,
the whole time.
And it is surprising she's still in, but it's a nice breath of fresh air. And nice breath of fresh.
Breath fresh.
Breath fresh.
His body language with her also, very sexy.
She's hot too.
Number three is Kelly, because duh, I'm not a dumb idiot. Even in a quiet episode for Kelly, she killed as the grandma.
My number one and two have been the same for a while. I've got Madison at one and Hannah Ann at two, so I'm just going to let it keep going.
Mine is exactly the same. Madison still...
You think he has Madison at number one?
Mm-hmm.
And you think he has Hannah Ann at number two?
I think so.
You know, he's catching up to me. Pedro is noticing what I have had my eyes on for a while, my four eyes, and he's doing it.
I don't want you to feel like your methods to madness are actually working.
Are influencing the game?
They're not.
Well, it's pretty undeniable.
It's not.
We're on the record.
That's not what's happening. But, you know, I know I've tried to make this whole point about how he got all these young girls out of here, but now the top two for us are two 23-year-olds.
If he gets rid of the two blondes next, two blondes? One blonde.
Mm-mm. He's not.
Just Kelsey. If he gets rid of her next, it'll be proof that he is listening to our show and doing what I say.
So, speaking of that, let's go to bold predictions. I do not think that he's going to keep Kelsey. I think he is going to kick off Kelsey and Natasha.
I think he's going to kick off Kelsey, and then Kelly leaves on her own, and Natasha makes hometowns.
Really? Natasha making hometowns?
Madison and Hannah Ann, I think, are locks because they're the two hottest, obviously. My preference. And then Victoria is a, like, you can't have somebody that hot and not get the free sex with her.
That's right.
If you're going to keep her around this long, you might as well.
Yeah.
So the real wild card is that fourth spot. And mm-hmm. I think he wants to give it to Kelly, and she is going to leave before he can give it to her.
Yeah.
He is going to have no choice but Natasha.
But do you think that Kelly will understand the promise of being able to go home and will stick around? Because... No. If the whole point is that
she doesn't want to have to get married at the end of this, she's going to bail before it's an option.
But here's the thing. Here's the storyline with Kelly. Her hometown date is going to be super focused on her family because she works with her family. Like, they live close together. They probably all have the same face, something ridiculous. And that's probably going to be her hometown story. The fact that her family is so involved in her life, and that's why she hasn't been in a serious relationship.
No, everyone's going to sit around and go, oh my God, Sydney just left? It's getting serious. There's a real life chance that I might have to marry this goon, and that's... everyone else is going to go, okay, and Kelly's going
to
be like...
I don't want you to meet my family.
This is too deep. I need to eject.
Yeah, yeah.
To use another flight reference.
Come on, dude.
Oh, I'm trying.
So... I mean, that's really it. I mean, we're going to go to another South American city. Big deal. Peter's going to speak Spanish.
Any Spanish-speaking country.
Any of it.
It could be Spain.
It will not be Spain.
It could be.
It will not be Spain.
We're going to go somewhere else where Pedro can hablo español.
We're going to go to Honduras or something like that. Guatemala. I can't wait.
The show's good again, though.
What happened?
As of now, the show's good again.
We're back. So there's going to be a lot of tears. You know, we'll see. Let's get to hometowns, man.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe.
I am a very safe guy. Safety in everything I do. And
in everything.
I'm not going to stop now.
This is not normal, dating 30 women.
You're going to get the good, the bad, and the ugly. Live vicariously through my love story.
Everyone thinks I fell in love with everyone.
I am in touch with my emotions. It's like the number one thing for me.
I think it comes from my Cuban roots.
It was uncomfortable.
It was awkward. You date that many women, there's going to be drama.
What drama?